Grace and peace to you, from God our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, our sermon text is the Gospel reading. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So far our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, set us apart from the selfish ways of this world. Focus our attention on Christ, who taught us the way and the truth and the life, who is the way and the truth and the life. Bring us to the heavenly places through him and his work. Sanctify us by the truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, maybe you're acquainted with the term the me generation. The me generation says that it's all about my rights, how I spend my time enjoying myself, my work style, my accomplishments. It's about my opinions and my earning power and my education and my life. It's all about me. The world revolves around me. What I want. The me generation is about what I want. And when I don't get what I want, I pick up my toys and I stomp off. When my rights are violated, I sue. Sure, someone may need my time, but I have more important things to do most of the time. Someone might be suffering for it, but I'm going to enjoy myself. Everyone else's opinions are silly. And get out of my way as I climb the corporate and social ladder. But who is it really all about? Time has a way of educating the me generation. There really are things that we do not control in this world. And as we get older, we begin to realize that more. There really are times when our rights are revealed to be privileges. Our time is really fleeting. And sometimes not so enjoyable. Careers can become dead-end jobs. Financial goals and educational goals that once seemed achievable just sort of flee us sometimes. And yet, even as we consider these things, are we not still considering how it affects us, how it affects me? The me generation was not born in a certain decade. All of Adam's children are the me generation. But who's it really all about? That's what we want to ask today. Who's it really all about? And this morning, as we spend some time with the Lord's words from that famous Sermon on the Mount, that's the question we want to have before us. Who's it all about? Let me go through what Jesus says one at a time here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we think that this is about us, then we better be asking ourselves the question, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? I want to be in the kingdom of heaven. How poor do I have to be? Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, I don't want to mourn, and I'm guessing you don't either. I don't want anybody to die that I care about. And as long as that stays the case, I probably don't need to be comforted, so this one's not so bad. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Am I meek? Are you meek? Don't we usually want things to go our way? Don't we usually sort of manipulate things so that it turns out the way we want? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Do I show mercy? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It's starting to get difficult, isn't it? Pure in heart. Am I hearing you right, God? You want me to be pure in heart? Or is this just God being unrealistic again? Those are the kinds of things that go through our minds when we hear these things. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Well, I'm quite happy with letting everybody just go about doing whatever they want to do as long as I get to have some peace. So what could this mean? What does it mean that I should make peace? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How often do I go out of my way to help a friend who doesn't know anything about God? I don't tell others about Jesus because I often don't want to get into it with them. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I'm guessing you're like me. I don't want people to insult me. I don't want them to treat me with evil intent. I don't want to be persecuted. But just wait a second here, because there's part of that verse that you probably just slipped right over the top of in your mind. It says, because of me. Jesus says, because of me. That me there, that's not me. That's not you. This is Jesus talking. Why would I be blessed when people do things because of what Jesus did? Think about that. How often we've heard these words, read through these words of Jesus, and all the while our focus has been on ourselves and on what they mean for us. But these last words remind us that we're not blessed because we've done what Jesus said. We're blessed because of Him. The whole scripture's like this. When we go to that holy book with the idea that it's all about me, then what do we come away with but a list of rules and things that we're supposed to do in order to make God happy enough with us so that we can get to heaven? That's what we do with God's word by nature. Adam and Eve started doing that right in the Garden of Eden, and it's continued ever since. The whole of Scripture is like that. When we go into thinking it's all about us, that book becomes nothing but a set of rules, and most of the time, we think about it as a way to clobber other people. We don't apply it to ourselves. And when we do apply these words to ourselves, we find that we don't measure up. Not even close. But God's word is not really about us, is it? It's really about God's plan to save us self-centered sinners. You can sum up what the Bible says in three verses. A little bit later in Matthew's account, in verse 48 of this chapter, Jesus summarizes the law for us. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's what God intended for the human race when He created us. He intended us to be perfect. The second sentence is this: but God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus is at the center of God's message to us. He's the reason for all 66 books of the Bible. It's about Him. He's at the center of it all, because God's justice must be done. And God's love sincerely wants you, wants all of us, to be saved. So God's own Son had to come down from heaven and live among us a perfect life and die for us on the cross to fulfill all righteousness and to satisfy all justice and to pour out God's love for you and me on that cross. And then there's the third sentence: go and preach the good news to all creation. These beatitudes, these verses, are not about me. They're not about you. They're about Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now listen to this verse: for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Did not Jesus weep when Lazarus was in the tomb? Did He not look over the city of Jerusalem and say, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And then He won eternal life for mankind. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That's why Paul said, "By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Think of these words: of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Think of the mercy that Christ shows us. The law so clearly lays bare our sinful hearts, and we know when we hear it that we do not deserve heaven, and yet God comes to us with that message of His mercy because of Christ, and He says, "I forgive you." Time after time, when we hear His word, He says to us, "I forgive you. I love you." And He shows us His mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Think of where Jesus is. No one could accuse Him of sin. Not even death could hold down the sinless Son of God, and he is at the right hand of the Father, ruling over everything for our good until his enemies are completely subdued. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And surely Jesus was the greatest peacemaker. He gave himself up to make peace, an everlasting peace between God and man. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And do we not see that in Jesus' life? Was our Savior not brutally persecuted, even crucified, and sent down to the depths of hell to fulfill all righteousness for us? And is he not, even now, as he has always been and always will be, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? These words of Jesus are not about us. He's telling us about his plan of salvation. God, through his prophet Isaiah, said that those who are poor in spirit need to hear the preaching of the good news. He says that the poor in spirit are brokenhearted, captives to sin, and in need of this good message of eternal life. Believe on Jesus. Trust him. That's why he's bringing this message to you today. He has done right in the sight of God. He did not fail to do what was needed. He is God's own Son, and he has suffered and died for us in our place. He was able to do that because he's not just the Son of God, but also the Son of Man by his mother Mary. It's all for us. It's not about me. It's for me. It's not about you. It's for you that God has given this message. It's for every sinner. Jesus wants us today to leave here joyful and glad and confident. He gives us every opportunity now to respond to what he has done, to his love. He gives us opportunities to be blessed as we realize our spiritual poverty and our inability to help ourselves. And that opportunity is found when we come to confess our sins and to receive his forgiveness. He gives us opportunities to mourn and yet to be comforted by his grace and the promise of eternal life. Every time we see death, we have the opportunity to speak about everlasting life in Christ. Every time we see death, we have the opportunity to talk about our Savior. He gives us opportunities to be blessed as we show godly meekness, as we seek to help other people. We have opportunities right here in our congregation. They abound. He gives us opportunities to be blessed as we hunger and thirst for righteousness. In our daily lives, we have so many opportunities to reprioritize, to think about his kingdom and what it means. And mercy. There are opportunities for mercy all around us. People that need to hear of Christ. People that need our help, physically speaking. Every week I get at least one call, I think, for help. There are opportunities to help people. People with hurting hearts. Even people that have offended us at times. We have the opportunity to show mercy for Christ's sake. And amazingly, this is the one that gets me the most, God even offers us the opportunity to be pure in heart. Not once, but every time we sin, he comes to us again and again. In the quietness of our hearts, by his Spirit, he preaches to us that message of forgiveness. Opportunities for peace. They abound too. Within troubled families, within our troubled country, seek the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have the opportunity to make a difference, dear Christians. Now, will we often get the worst of it when we act in Christian love? Think of how the world treated the most loving of all, the Savior. There will be times when we will be persecuted because of righteousness, but remember, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Don't keep your eyes set on the petty things of this world, but focus your attention on eternity and what God has promised to do for you because of Jesus Christ. I hope that today you will leave here knowing that it's not all about us. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's all about Jesus Christ and his life and his death, what he did for you, what he did for your neighbor. That's what the saints in heaven rejoice about as they sing to the Lamb on the throne. May those blessings of God abound to you more and more in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's about him. Glory be to him alone. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.